Welcome to the Rob, Comrade, and Kale Show. Rob Sanders.
I don't care. I don't care. My jokes don't go over. I don't care.
Comrade Mike Dobreski.
No! I don't care. We hate you. I don't care.
And Kale Hall.
This is stupid. Making noises on the show. You're like a crazy person. Why do you do this to your father and I?
The Rob, Comrade, and KO Podcast.
And welcome into the Rob, Comrade, and KO Podcast. I'm Rob Sanders. I have a couple of co-hosts. We'll start with the Mad Russian, the Upset Russian. He is the Comrade, Mike Dobreski. Mike, good evening, sir.
It's a great day to be a Gamecock, a little 2-0 day. It's always great winning two games in one day. Lady Gamecocks took out Gonzaga, a ranked Gonzaga team, number one team in the country. And, of course, the men got their shit together today and took out Tulsa. So, 2-0 day in the land of Gamecocks, and we'll take anything we can get right now. And it looks like Shane Beamerball is coming to Columbia by all the tea leaves I'm reading.
Yeah.
We can talk about that later on, I guess.
Yeah, there we go. I also have the third member of the show. He is Kale Hall. Kale, what's up, buddy?
What's up? Glad to be here. My favorite night of the week. Well, used to be. It's not my favorite night of the week. And I want to give a shout out to everybody over there watching on YouTube live. I said it, 15 of you so far. Please share the show, shout it out, do whatever. Hit the thumbs up button if you're in. The Carolina Jackpot channel is just a hair away from hitting 9,000 subscribers.
Get it.
As a channel. So we're growing. The goal is to get 10,000 within the next 6 weeks. And with your help, we can do it. It's been growing at a really rapid pace. So here we go with that. And as Mike alluded to, yeah, it looks like Beamer Ball is coming to Columbia. Not exactly thrilled about that, but it is what it is. And I'm here to support whoever.
We can talk about that too, because Kale and I are on the kind of the same page with Beamer, and it's being misconstrued as that we hate Shane Beamer, and it's not that at all. It's just that we prefer other options. But at this point now, I've kind of accepted. And listen, maybe it's a good thing, because my number one guy last time was Bill Muschamp, didn't fucking work. So maybe if my second, I mean, I probably Beamer is probably my second choice. I mean, the Hugh Freeze thing is kind of weird. There's a devil on my shoulder that says, you know, he could get you some wins really quick. So, he's kind of in there. But Beamer's probably my second choice, though, I would say. I mean, it's Napier number one. It's a clear one for me. And then probably it's probably Beamer. I don't like Chadwell. I don't like Chadwell. Hugh Freeze, I mean, I have to deal with some things. And then, so I get on board with Beamer. I get on board with Beamer. At this point, he's the easiest person to hire right now to get things kind of going. That's one thing too, with the recruiting signing period and transfer portal. I mean, he can be hired by tomorrow and start working tomorrow. Oklahoma doesn't need him. He can, you know, start getting the staff together tomorrow. So I think that's part of it too, but we will see. We will see.
We have to thank our sponsors, of course, Callaway's Bar and Grill out in West Columbia, Highway 1 diagonal from the Walmart. They sponsor the Callaway's Pick'em Challenge. We'll go over that shortly. Also, Dennis Wilson from DNC Trucking and Transport. The No Spin Zone segment with the Comrade. Comrade, read away.
It sucks to be a Gamecock. Clemson is the elite program in the state of South Carolina. I am now behind Matt Tomlinson in the Pick'em Challenge, and this is upsetting to me. My picks are as disappointing as a Will Muschamp coach football team. Matt Tomlinson knows more football than I can ever dream of knowing. Travis Etienne is a better running back than Kevin Harris is. Only dummies and people who drink paint would think otherwise. Pray for Ryan Helinski. He was lied to by the current coaching staff. My team is so pitiful, we are hiring a coach who has spent 20 years coaching and has no coordinator experience. It sucks to be a Gamecock. Go Tigers.
All facts from Dennis Wilson, DNC Trucking and Transport. Appreciate Dennis sponsoring the show. And
I think it's hilarious that Tater Fan laughs at South Carolina potentially hiring a coach with no coordinator experience when they have a coach who has no coordinator experience.
Well, a lot of them don't know that. They don't have them just think Dabo was there. They don't know that. They don't know the story behind it.
Tell you where Dabo went to college or anything.
They don't know that Clemson basically didn't have the money. They were afraid of asking out the good looking girl and getting told no. And so they go, let's just stay in house and make it simple. We're poor. Let's just do it that way. They forget all about that because they weren't fans back then.
All right, so Comrade, did you drop off? What happened to your mic? I didn't touch your mic. I didn't touch your mic, Mike. You did something wrong over there. You unplugged something or something. I didn't do it. You can see my hands. By the way, the only people that the only thing with Beamer is that Beamer has been coaching for 20 years, and no one thought to give him a coordinator job. He begged for this job to come to South Carolina. So that's my knock on him. I don't know. He may end up being great. I don't know.
Listen, my concern is he's had no coaching experience. I'm not worried about the coordinator thing. Okay, there's a guy named Urban Meyer who never had a coordinator job. I don't know if you knew that before. But, you know, the key that he's going to – listen, the issue is – number one, here's why I'm starting to kind of warm up to him. Number one,
players. Can we be honest with our listeners here? If South Carolina hired a piece of dog shit, you would get a Coach Dog Shit T-shirt.
Listen,
so let's just be honest.
I find the good in all people. That's what I do.
Sure,
okay?
You do.
I can look at a bum in the street and find something. I said, listen, I find the good in people. Okay, but listen,
sure.
I like the fact that the former players all want him back. And that's good you have buy-in from the former players like Lattimore and those guys. The only issue I have with – and this is where Gamecock fans and I argue about because they think I'm like against him – is when Gamecock fans act like he's the reason the Gamecocks had three straight 11-win seasons. Like he was the key part. He wasn't. And I'm not trying to trash him. I'm just stating facts that he wasn't a big part of that. He was part of it. He was there. He saw it, which is a good thing. That he sees what's possible there. Three top 10 finishes. He sees it. But don't act like we need to hire him because he's going to bring that back, that magic touch he had. He didn't have much to do with that. That's all my point is. But I like the fact he wants this job. It's his dream job. He doesn't want to go to Virginia Tech. He doesn't want to go in his dad's shadows. This is the job he wants. And so the key is, can he hire some coordinators, really good coordinators, veteran coordinators who aren't looking for stepping stone jobs, who aren't looking to, you know, go somewhere else for a head coaching job and build a solid program, get the culture back, get the fans back, get the alumni back, and do that. So,
go ahead, Kale.
No, the biggest selling point, and more so than any of those assistant coaches that recruited there at that particular point in time, biggest selling point of that program was the fact that Steve Spurrier was the head coach. That's it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Oh, yeah, and Tommy Bowden got fired.
Mm-hmm. To help, too.
You know, because he's the catalyst of that high five.
And Brandon Kuhn, my son, makes a great point. Beamer's dad was a great coach. Listen, he's been around a lot of great coaches. And so he's going to have – and fuck the Bears, by the way. But anyway, so he's been around a lot of great coaches. So he has lots of people to pull from. He has lots of people to go to, lots of people to get kind of experience from. I'm sure he's been thinking about this day for a long time, what he will do if he's head coach. So I'm not saying he's not – listen, I hope he's the best coach in Gamecock history. But there's more question marks about him than there is like Billy Napier. Doesn't mean Billy Napier is going to be great here. Billy Napier may come here and suck balls. and Shane Beamer may come here and become, you know, Beamer Drive in 10, 15, 20 years, like I said, Williams-Brice Stadium, after he gets three national titles. I don't know, but I'm just saying, obviously right now, it looks like he's the guy. I mean, from all every report I hear, and I don't have any more inside. I used to have an inside little info to the Board of Trustees back in the day, but that's dried up, so I don't have that anymore, but I'm hearing Beamer, and I think a lot of it is, I think they have Beamer and Napier all tied pretty much, and they're saying they're tied up, but Beamer we can hire right now. He can get in here now, start recruiting, start getting transfers, start getting the coaching staff. With Billy Napier, we have to wait until God knows when. He's not going to leave his team.
Have COVID anyway? Or
he's got COVID as well, too. He could die. No, I'm not trying to be – but he could.
Well, I mean, that's the thing. I mean, how can he interview – I mean, I'm sure this is something that they would interview for in person, right?
Yeah. And Kazin's got COVID, too, so Kazin's not interviewing anybody. He's probably getting Zoom calls and all that stuff. So
Phil Kornblut reported that this morning that it looked like it was going to be Shane Beamer. Billy Napier, I thought, was the better hire, in my opinion. But, you know, I don't know the ins and outs of what's going on as far as how much they're willing to spend as they continue to pay for the last disaster staff that was here. I do know Josh Pate was on my show the other day and said that the only thing keeping Billy Napier away was they were a long way off as far as money goes. So I don't know if that's true or not. I'm just telling you that's what Josh Pate told me. It's not like Josh Pate's going to sit here and feed me lies about it. That's just what he was told, that Napier wanted more, et cetera. So there's that.
And that's a mark for Beamer, too, just because, you know, for Beamer, he'll take less money because I think his plan is I want to have an unbelievable coaching staff. I think what he's selling is to Tanner and Kazlin is, if you hire me, here's the guys I'm bringing in, A, B, C, D, and, you know, I'll take this much money as long as they can pay. This is what it'll take to get this guy and this guy and this guy and this guy, okay, and do it that way. So I think that's his plan, is be kind of the CEO coach. You know, I don't think he'll have his head, like dabble listens to Tony Robbins during the game and thinks of funny quotes. I don't think he'll do that. But he'll be more along those lines of kind of the coordinators will coach. Okay,
we're gonna have a low budget head coach and some high budget coordinators.
That's what I think the plan is. I think that's what he's selling. I think that works with the money issue right now is that we and you know, the whole Napier thing it makes sense with the money. Napier wants to get paid like a mid-tier SEC coach. Yeah, I think Beamer is happy getting paid as a lower tier SEC coach as long as he gets the coordinators in there. So I think that's the difference.
We haven't asked Virtual Kale what he thinks. Virtual Kale, what do you think of us, Shane Beamer?
Oh, fuck. Now we might not win. Sucks.
Sorry. Virtual Kale with his opinion. Virtual Kale makes me happy. I don't know.
Virtual Kale said something different for Shane.
But that's a valid statement from Virtual Kale. Come on.
Oh, fuck. Now we might not win. Sucks.
Oh, shit. You know what? Why don't we just take calls tonight? We'll go over the stuff with the Callaway's Pick'em Challenge. Comrade, you want to break that down while I get the phones moving here? Kale, you want to talk about your picks? What you got there, comrade? Go ahead.
We do need to address one thing now. We have to address something. It's an elephant in the room.
What?
On the podcast on Wednesday, Rob took the Gamecocks over Georgia because he promised weeks earlier he took the Gamecocks over Georgia. So he did the whole thing on the podcast. And then once off the air, the next day, he slinked away with tail between his legs.
Yep.
And changed his pick to Georgia. Because you want to go ahead and address that? I'm getting emails. I'm getting emails.
I don't care.
You know?
I don't care.
I'm getting emails about
Can I explain something to you? The reason that I changed my mind is because if you go and buy a parlay card and the line swings 4 points in any general direction, the parlay card is generally off the table. The Broncos and the Saints were pulled off the table today because all of the Broncos people got COVID.
But you changed
so
it
things
next day, though.
Changed.
You
Hold
were,
on.
That show was off for 10 hours.
I know, because I thought Shy Smith was going to play. Shy Smith was ruled out. Things changed.
He wasn't ruled out the next day.
According to my sources, he was out. So I went with my sources.
He was not ruled out. When you told me, you said nothing about Shy Smith.
I don't care. According to my sources, he was out.
Don't lie.
I'm not lying.
Be honest.
According to my sources, he was out.
Be honest, our listeners. I've already
been honest.
You went back on your word.
I went back on my word because things changed.
Nothing changed from
everything
Wednesday
changed.
Night to
hold
Thursday
on.
Morning.
Hold on.
Nothing
hold
changed.
On. Hold on. Hold on. Let me mute your mic
Nothing
so you
changed.
Can shut up.
Nothing.
Here's what's changed on that front. When I made that prediction, Georgia was running Stedman Jackass out there. So Georgia had a brand new quarterback. South Carolina has a brand new coach. And a different quarterback, and they lost their starting wide receiver. So all of it changed. Those are the things that are changed. You don't like
but
that?
Wednesday
I did
night,
things.
You still took the Gamecocks, though.
I went through things. I went through the things, and the things had changed.
But
sorry. The things had changed. Sorry.
Nothing changed from Wednesday to Thursday.
Everything I did was above ground.
If you had balls, you would have said Wednesday night. Listen,
I went through my stuff. I made that prediction.
Okay, on Wednesday night, I know I made that prediction before, but I'm going back on it now because the things changed. People understood. Instead, you stuck with the Gamecocks.
I thought that Shy Smith was going to play, and my sources tell me he's not. You're lying.
You cannot lie about it.
I'm not lying
just
about
say
it. No,
you did not have the balls on
nope.
air.
What, whatever
to go
you,
back
whatever you
word.
Need to know, there, comrade. I went and submitted my picks within the deadline, and
I know,
some of us submit good picks, and some of us submit your picks.
You went back on your word, but we're afraid to
Things
do it
changed.
On air.
Things changed.
You were there to tell you on air.
Things changed.
You should have
sorry.
Done it on air. Okay. Nothing changed
anyway,
from Wednesday to Thursday.
Yeah, well, according to my sources, they did. So I don't really
Nothing
give a
changed.
Fuck what you think changed.
That is not
That's
true.
Fine.
That is not true.
I don't have to out my sources to you minions. Anyway, the Callaway's football pick'em contest leading the way is, and by the way, I want to make sure that people know, up at the top of this thing, and it's kind of the cream does rise to the top, the first, what, you don't have a Gamecock that's in the mix until, let's see here, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12. Yeah, the first Gamecock is Matt Hewlett at 49 picks. He's
in
12th place.
Well, I don't know who Michael Tungor is.
Michael Tungor is
Michael Tungor is a Gamecock.
No, he's not. He's an LSU fan. Same thing goes with the rest of them up there. But Ben Simmons
Edwin
Reeves is an LSU fan. You want to bet me on that?
Keller Bruni is a Gamecock.
Do you want to bet me on that? You want to bet me on that?
Mark McCurry is a Gamecock fan.
Mark McCurry is not a Gamecock fan.
Trust me.
He's not a Gamecock fan. Anyway, it's all Clemson and other teams. The Gamecocks don't know anything about football. They're 12th. That's the first one there. But Ben Simmons leads away with 56 points. I'm behind him 3 picks back at 53, along with Taylor Bruni. And Edwin Reeves is at 52. As we look down the list, we do have some movement here. Michael Tungor got a 7. That's a perfect on the week, so congratulations to him. Let's see here. There was one other interesting note here. Oh, Jackpot has finally passed Jackpot Jr. Congratulations, Jackpot.
Congratulations, I guess.
Yeah.
I would be up there in the 50s, like 50, 51, if I had just picked that stupid fucking Coastal team every week. That's where a lot of my shit has been fucked up at.
They destroyed that team. Good Lord.
Yeah, well, I have to scroll down to the bottom to find the comrade here. He is behind Matt Tomlinson now. Comrade, if you keep up with the pace that you're at, you might get the golden penis.
I'm on that way, but it's been tough. It's been really weird. I sent you guys a text earlier. So I'm in an NFL contest too. And when I was red hot in college, like red hot, I could not pick an NFL game to save my life. Like I was in dead last in that contest, and I was the first in this contest. Well, things have changed. I'm now red hot in the NFL. I'm about to win this week's contest and win like $200. But my college picks are, so I can't do both at the same time, apparently. I'm either right in one or wrong in the other. So it's been a weird year for sure.
Yeah, well, this is, and I'm not goofing on you, Mike.
That's what this Gamecock football is done to.
Holy shit, Kale. This is your worst performance ever. I don't think I've ever seen you be this far down in the standings.
It's been bad. It's been bad. The only silver lining in this still is that the way it's gone this year is it's been fun to laugh at Tomlinson, because when he was really far back, he was all about one. He didn't think the contest was really legit because I picked the games, and then he didn't care about it. And now that he's ahead of me, he's been posting for like 24 straight hours about how excited he is. So it's been fun to do that. If I can come back now and then, you know, end up finishing strong, you can see like the waves of the Tomlinson. He'll go back saying it doesn't matter and he doesn't care about it. So it's been fun.
All right, so there you go. There's the Callaway's Pick'em Challenge. We can talk a little bit about the game, or we can take your calls on what you think about Shane Beamer. 803-470-2905. 803-470-2905. Man, people are all over the top rope with some of this. Look at this. Percy Von Higginbottom says, Will Muschamp will be inducted into the South Carolina Hall of Fame. I know who runs the South Carolina Hall of Fame, and Will Muschamp is not going to be inducted into the Hall of Fame. That's not happening. Let's take a call, gentlemen. This is probably... Good evening. Welcome into the show.
This is Michael Congor, the guy who's done really well. And just so you know, I am a Clemson fan.
There you go.
That is bullshit. Bullshit. Prove it.
It's true. My dad went to Carolina. I think against the Gamecocks every single time.
That doesn't mean anything. You can be doing reverse psychology.
I was told
by a close personal friend of yours.
No, you don't.
You are a Gamecock Club member. That's what I was told.
Comrade, he got 7 picks correct this week. You've gotten 4 in the past 2 weeks, so...
That's been a tough time.
There's that. Hey, Michael, thank you for joining us, man. We appreciate you, buddy. Anything else you want to say to the comrade? Oh, he just wanted to make it known. No, I don't support that shithole. Let me get out of here on that.
Dennis Wilson, not the Dennis Wilson of DNC Trucking and Transport. The Dennis Wilson Miami fan over on YouTube says Scar would be a fool to hire Beamer. This is a supporter of the program that has hired such geniuses as Randy Shannon, Al Golden, Mark Richt, Retread Times 3, and now whatever the latest clown is down there. Sir, you would know about fuck-up coaches.
Yeah. Sippy Sports Show says he wants to be on the show. 803-470-2905. I'm surprised Texas A&M fan will call us later on and talk to us about how Texas A&M is the second coming of Christ.
Well, listen, I will say this. Their defense is unreal. Kind of mine looked horrible, but their defense, I mean, maybe our defense is really bad, because I watched the LSU team go up another field on us, and they look like they couldn't do anything as A&M. But, I mean, it's so weird watching games. But don't you find the same way, Kale, when you watch like, the Gamecocks play, then you go watch teams that we played this year and play against each other, and it's like –
Yeah, it's not really a good litmus test for anything.
Yeah,
watching the Gamecocks play.
it's like you can't tell. Like, damn, LSU's offense really sucks. Like, why could we get 52 to them? And then, like, you see, it's just really weird.
It's so weird. Did you see? I saw on the ticker a while ago that Terrence Marshall. Is that his name for LSU? The receiver they had, the one they have that's worth a shit.
Yeah.
He opted out.
Yeah.
Opted out. What they have? What do they have? Two games left.
Yeah. He's gone.
Alabama and Florida,
he's like,
right?
Fuck it, I'm out.
So he just didn't. He didn't want to get his ass beat 2 weeks in a row. So I don't know
if you guys saw this or not, but Shai Smith has said that he's leaving the program too. He's going to go. I don't know if he's going to play this weekend or not, but he's going to head to the NFL, so he will not be back for South Carolina next year.
Well, Luke Doty is officially a starter next week in Kentucky. That was named today.
Yeah. So
apparently, Luke brought in the. I will say this now, you know, and the Gamecocks were. I think they're down 20 players in that Georgia game. And I mean, they had no chance at
20.
But,
they were down 20. Respectfully, they were down 23 players. So go ahead.
They were. I mean, they. I like the fact that they played hard. I mean, and I'm not trying to get a moral trophy victory, but Kevin Harris on that fourth down run, just the fact that he was down, he battled back at the first down. They fought hard. It's just. I mean, it's really bad. But I'll give them credit there. But we'll see if they can maybe get a win. I'm curious next week, you know, how they come out. I mean, they can come out like we don't give a shit. They can come out like that's ending on a good note. But
yep. All right.
I'm glad it's over.
Caller, welcome to the show.
Hey, guys. This is Eric. I'm out in Pearl Harbor, Hawaii.
How you doing, man?
Yeah, man. I'm doing great, man. Jackpot, you're one of my favorite, even if you're a Gamecock, man. Just want you to know that.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
Eric, by the way, is training to become an officer in the military. So salute to you, sir. We appreciate
awesome.
What you're doing for our country and spending some time to call in on our shitty podcast here. Thank you for that, sir.
Yeah, man, of course. I was curious. What's up with Ryan Helinski? I mean, I think the kid should be able to play, and I'm just curious why it seems like they're not giving him a chance. Have you guys heard that he's hurt or something?
He's not hurt, and, you know, they're not really saying anything, putting anything out there. It's just that they kind of – I personally think that he didn't really mesh well with what Bobo wants to do, and I think Bobo was sold on Colin Hill. And Bobo even said, hey, he's got footwork issues, et cetera. So I don't know if he's going to transfer or not, but we'll see.
Well, I mean, first of all, he's behind the eight ball. It's a brand-new offense. There's no spring practice.
Right.
The kid coming in has ran the offense for 5 years, okay? And so that's the first thing. Plus, they're both the same type of quarterback. They're both statues in the pocket. And so they're making the change now to Doty, not so much because Doty's playing better, but because with the fact we have no receivers and our line blows dick, your only shot is to put a quarterback back there who can kind of escape and buy time and do that. Helinski can't do that either. So, I mean, so it's not really – I know everyone wants to paint it as, you know, Helinski's being left out. It's just because – you know, I'm convinced that say if we had all our receivers and our line was really good, I think you would see Helinski. You know, I think it's just because Helinski will not have success right now in this offense the way it's built, with the fact that he has no weapons and no line. You need a guy back there like Doty who can kind of do some things with his feet, legs, and whatever. But you know, I heard some rumors too that his work ethic isn't great. I don't know. I've heard that from more than a couple people. The same things were about Connor Mitch back in the day. Remember that name?
Oh God!
I thought he was the next coming.
I mean, this
is true. I mean, Connor Mitch, you got to forget this, man. Listen, this is why I don't pay shit attention to recruits, okay? This is my first lesson. Connor Mitch, I was all like, I was convinced that he was the next coming, all based on shit I've read on, you know, on guru.recruitnet, okay? And yet, the bitch could never get to second string. Okay? Like, he was always, like, third strings, too. I'm like, I asked some people, this is back when I had more connections, people who were at practice. I'm like, why the hell can he even get to second string? What's going on? And he's like, oh, he's like a piece of shit. He doesn't work hard. Doesn't go in the film room. He goes out to party. He's like Garcia, only not as talented. I'm like, oh. And so when he finally did get his shot, I think he played like one game. That was that in that game in Charlotte.
I went to that. He was awful.
Yeah, and he looked like
9 for 25 or some shit like that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Really bad.
So. I don't know. So I'm not hearing that Helsinki's like counter Mitch, but I'm hearing his work ethic maybe isn't quite as strong as Bubba wants. Maybe he's not meshing well with Bubba. I don't know. But the main reason why they're not playing now is because Helsinki would get killed right now. Connor Hill is getting killed. So you put a guy back there who can run around a little bit and buy some time. So if I'm Helsinki, I wouldn't transfer. I'd wait to see what you have for coach coming in and so forth. I mean, and try to come on with a new offense. Hopefully we're back to normal and have a spring practice and spring ball. And whatever offense we're putting in, everyone's got the same chance of learning it. And then you go by who's better at that point. That way no one's got an advantage. You know, Connor Hill had an advantage. Colin Hill. Good Lord. I messed up my Connors, my Mitches, my Shaws, my Doties. So if I'm Helsinki, I wouldn't go anywhere. I hope it doesn't go anywhere. We need quarterback depth, but go back. You got a new coach coming in, new impressions to make. You got a new offense coming in. Everyone's got the same chance to learn it. And let's see who's better.
Right.
And if you don't beat anybody out then maybe you can think about transferring. But so we'll see.
All right. Hey, Eric, do you have anything else, buddy, you want to go over?
No, that was really about it. I'll take your stuff off the. I'm watching you guys on YouTube right now, but I am wondering how many you think we'll run it out to with Uyunglele. I think we can get the 10, especially 10 in a row. It'd be pretty good. But anyway, you guys have a good night. Go Tigers.
Fucking jackass. Who's that again? Who was his name?
You will not be disrespecting a future officer in our United States military, sir. We will not have it. That is Eric O'Brien. Eric Bryant. Or is it Eric O'Brien? Maybe Eric Bryant. Yeah. So shout out to Eric for. He said they're going to get 10
in. Maybe we won't play. Clemson won't play for 5 more years, bitches. What do you think about that?
Yeah, you can't lose to Clemson
right.
If you don't schedule them.
It's going this year. Offense is going defense this year. From the worst game
funny.
Goose egg.
That
Bam.
Is funny. By the way,
I'm going to average this into Trevor Lawrence's point total against the Gamecocks in his history, too.
Yeah.
How many points did Clemson put up on Trevor Lawrence? You know, what was the average?
All right, here. Hold on. Another phone call. Welcome into the show. Good evening.
And I actually have the thing I was going to say to the comrade. Actually did change my pick because of I changed my pick because I found out about Shai Smith on Saturday. I first picked the game clock, and then I realized, oh, there's been actually I don't think they're going to actually do it.
Yeah. But
it was okay for you to do it.
I know it's okay, but the problem was the one that's not why Rob changed it. Now here's what the truth happened. Okay, Rob shot his mouth off a few weeks ago.
Yeah.
Okay, and
the
then
SEC
on a Wednesday,
dog.
And the SC dog, he shut his mouth off. And then on Wednesday, he had a predicament he was in. He didn't want to take the Gamecocks. He knew we were straight trash. But at the same time, he didn't feel like having
to
suck an SEC dog's nuts. So what he did is he did the bullshit way. He went ahead and kept his word on the podcast and then slinked off next day and changed it. And now I'm trying to tell you
what
I found out about Shai Smith. No, that has nothing to do with it. That's the truth. He tried to save face in the podcast and then slink off the next day and bet with his brain the next day.
No,
that's what happened.
That's not
and he won't admit to it, but that's what happened. Shai Smith, that report was not out till Friday or Saturday.
Hold on, comrade, why don't you look and see when I submitted my stuff, and it'll tell you when I changed it.
You submitted the next day.
Did I change it on Friday or Thursday? Go check it out.
You changed it on Thursday.
I changed it on Friday, sir. Go look at it. I changed it on Friday.
On Thursday.
Sorry. Anyway, we'll take your calls this evening, 803-470-2905. 803-470-2905. Hot news here, gentlemen. The ACC has released their schedule for next week. Clemson and Virginia Tech will be a 7:30 kickoff on the ABC network as the Tigers will wrap up their season in Blacksburg. Caller, good evening.
Hey, how are you?
Hi.
So I was calling to make a case for Billy Napier.
Okay.
And I wanted to...
Hold on a second. My fine wife just waved bye to me. Bye, fine wife.
Real quick, though, I want to verify this now. I'm seeing it right now. Rob changed his pick, okay? Our show was on the 25th November.
Yep.
Okay, Rob submitted his pick during the show on the 25th November.
Right.
He resubmitted his new pick on Thursday morning at 2:30 a.m.
Yep.
He resubmitted his pick.
Isn't
about
that? I thought it was Friday.
Six,
I submitted
before
it.
He went to bed. After he mixed the show, he edited the show. He then resubmitted a new pick.
So?
Okay, he didn't find out about Shy Smith.
I found out about Shy Smith that night.
You changed your pick.
I will not give up my sources.
4.5 hours after the show was over.
Sure.
4.5 hours.
Sure.
Because you wanted to man up with SC
nope.
Dog and then slink off afterwards.
No. Nope.
It's been confirmed.
It's not.
You
confirmed.
Are a liar.
I am not
you
lying. I had my
well,
I had my source.
Don't lie.
Over on YouTube, Noah Sheldon 500 says South Carolina is not a Power 5 program. Well, there's something amiss here because Uncle Lou says that Kirby has never lost to a non-Power 5 team. So
what is it? I don't know. What?
I'll get that one.
So
caller, go ahead.
Coaches or what?
No, go ahead. What you got, caller? Yeah, what do you got for Beamer, right, caller?
So, now, I like Napier, and I heard Carolina Jackpot. I think Carolina Jackpot, don't you like Beamer?
It's not my first choice, but if that's our coach, then I'm going to support him. So, yes.
I just feel like Beamer's like he's at a prestige program, so obviously he's going to get good recruits in. That's like, you know, going to Clemson and being a recruiting coordinator. But I feel like Billy Napier has done more with less talent at Louisiana. So, in South Carolina, you think about it, North Carolina, Georgia, Florida.
Well, I mean,
all
to be fair,
us,
so I mean, I guess so, but – Billy Napier still never beaten App State. I mean, they never won the conference championship there. So, I mean, it is what it is. I mean, we get a coach that he's never been a coordinator. And too often these coaches, like we got like Muschamp, that's a defensive guy who won a medal with the offense. And they say, and you see Kirby Smart's a defensive guy, and he medals with Georgia's offense. We could get a coach that's just, I mean, Beamer's been a position coach on offense and defense. I mean, he's pretty well rounded, so, you know, maybe he
doesn't go
to either side, and he just, you know, kind of lets his coaches do their job, I guess.
Yeah. Beamer just falls close to the same tree as Will Muschamp. Like, he's a good recruiter, so was Will Muschamp. You know, he was never a head coach, just like Will Muschamp. I just feel like there's a lot of similarities between him and Will Muschamp.
Well, there's one thing also. He's never been a failure like Will Muschamp. So, you know, we don't know.
But you got to look at the program.
Are you saying Beamer and Muschamp are alike? Beamer and Muschamp?
Yeah,
they're nothing
alike.
Muschamp's been a coordinator his whole life. I mean, head coach in waiting. He was billed as the next great coach. Beamer's never been billed that way. I mean, Beamer, they're very different. I mean, Beamer's always been, you know, a guy and a staff who's around great people. That's it. But Muschamp's been, he was Mack Brown's, going to be his replacement head coach in waiting. He was a Camp Mitch candidate. I mean, the ultimate defensive coordinator, worked under Saban Tree. I mean, Beamer's nothing like that. Beamer's just a guy who's been on staffs that with really good coaches, and he's been on programs that have had success and so forth. I mean, they're very different. I think they're complete opposite in terms of what you're hiring. I'm not saying
Shane Beamer got to Oklahoma 2 years ago, so the program was already, you know, a top 10, top 5 program, so it's not like he helped.
Yeah, but Beamer doesn't really do anything at Oklahoma, though. I mean, he's on the staff. But Beamer has. I mean, he's around a great program and great people. He's not like running guy. He's not a coordinator. He's not running anything. What's that?
I said Billy. Beamer's more
like Sweeney than he is Muschamp in terms of their background, in terms of their experience. I mean, Dabo was a a reach. Okay, and it worked out. I will caution Gamecock fans who point to Dabo as the reason we should hire Beamer. Okay, Dabo,
that's so rude.
You know, is the exception that proves the rule. Okay, now listen. I hope we Beamer's great, but I'm just saying this to throw in. Hey, well, Dabo had no experience. Put him in. Well, I could do the same thing and, you know, put my cat in as they with no experience. I mean, shit, what the hell? Okay, I mean, let's just be. I mean, listen, I hope it works out. I'm behind him. It looks like that's going to be the guy we hire. I'm coming around to it just from the fact of I like the fact that, you know, listen, if we wait too long, I'll be pissed. The one advantage of hiring, and we can hire him right now. We can hire him tomorrow. I'm not sure what's going to happen tomorrow, mm-hmm. but we can hire him tomorrow. Oklahoma doesn't need him anymore. He can come here, start getting the coaching staff together, and start doing stuff. As opposed to Napier, we got to wait till Napier, one, gets over the COVID, two, stops coaching his team, and by then, you get behind the eight ball a little bit with your first staff. Your recruiting class is going to shit. It's going to go to shit anyway. You know, Beamer's here, the first one. Yeah. But at least you can start getting some transfer portal people. Maybe talk to some transfers, get them over here, too. But that's the only thing I think.
Mike, let the caller finish, buddy. Go ahead.
I said Billy Napier's won three straight conference championships in a row. So I don't really see any cons to Billy Napier. And let me say this real quick. And I feel like a lot of the alumni are hopping on Shane Beamer because he was the coach there. Like if Billy Napier was the coach there, then all of them would be saying, "Oh, let's get Billy.
That's right.
Let's get Billy." You know.
Listen. Cal and I are both on the same page.
Thank you, caller. We appreciate it, man. Let's move on.
We want Napier. I mean, Cal and I both want Napier first. Napier's our first choice. So I agree with that. And the alumni, I mean, there's a big swell. I mean, listen, there's people. I put a poll up on Twitter about 10 days ago, and I put down if you only had two choices, who would you hire? Okay, this is with the Gamecock fans, and Billy Napier or Shane Beamer. And Billy Napier, I have to look at my vote now, won 98% of the votes. I had like 65 votes, won 98% to 2%. But there is a lot of support for Beamer. Former players like him, and because former players like him, a lot of people, alumni and Gamecock fans, kind of get behind him too. There's many people. I'm going to give Kale credit here. You know, I do Kale as a typical Gamecock fan. I mean, not typical, but you know, I mean, like Kale is a good barometer. Okay, when I want to throw something to Kale in terms of how the Gamecock Nation's feeling, he's pretty much got the pulse there, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And when Will Muschamp was hired, Cale Hall was very much against it. I argue with him, a lot of Gamecock fans.
Hey,
very
wait
much
a minute. Hold on, Mike. Okay. Mike, you're not giving me credit. I was against it, too.
Okay, I'm talking about Gamecock fans, Jack. Fuck, you're against anybody we hire because you're a fucking troll.
No, I'm not. I think
you're
Billy,
a troll.
I'm not a troll.
You're a troll.
Billy
you're
Napier would be a great
hired.
Hire. No,
I'm sure we hired Spurrier. You said,
I was not against Spurrier being hired. I thought Spurrier was going to be great.
You want a dabble fire. Is that about you? So anyway, but the reason why we're going to kill Hall credit, though.
Hold on. We got to take the caller. The caller's been another caller. So
but Cale was against Muschamp.
Hello?
But once,
hello,
once Muschamp was hired, Cale got behind him.
Caller, what do you got for the show? Comrade, just spewing bullshit. Caller, what you got?
So I just want to call in. It's me, Colorado, Tyler. And I just love what you guys do, by the way. Just great watching this, your guys' reactions on what's going on with South Carolina. So that's why I'm calling in. First of all, I definitely want Bobo, whatever the hell his name is, gone from South Carolina. Growing up here in Colorado, he was an awful OC. So I cannot wait for this whole thing to be just eradicated for the front office of coaches. I am done with him. I just want him gone. He can never be Colorado, and Colorado sucks. So that's why I'm calling in, because I just want him gone. That Georgia game was awful. So, but I, whoever comes in right now is not going to be as bad what South Carolina has right now. So literally just, you know, this whole thing is going to be a lot better than it is. I'm being straight with y'all.
But caller, just for a second here, I want to make sure that we all understand something. One member of this show, the gentleman that hails from the mighty Kremlin, was all over the Bobo thing and talking about Bobo's a great offensive mind and Bobo's awesome. Just putting that
out there.
I think
Bobo's been really good this year. Our problems are not like Bobo this year.
Bobo's a
I think our offense has done well this year. Now our offense is that's been now with our no receivers and everything else too. But I like Mike Bobo's offensive play call.
But,
now,
but, you're talking but about what him about as a, what about the fullback and the three step drops and a power eye? Come on, comrade.
Have you seen Kevin Harris's stats this year, my friend? I don't know if you've seen them.
Yeah, Kevin Harris has been definitely the bright spot for this offense. I just saw too much of it here in Colorado whenever he played at CSU. It is interesting to see him play more with, like, you know, SEC talent and not just guys that are from New Mexico, Wyoming, and, like, you know, Colorado, you know.
I don't want him as head coach, but I think he's done a good job. Like, our problem this year has not been our offense. You know, if you were to give me our offensive numbers this year and how we looked, I would have been fine with that, because I thought our defense was really good this year. I really thought our defense would be the strength of our team, and it's not, and that's sad. But our offense, I like the fact how we run the ball. I like how he calls plays. The only thing I had a problem with was the LSU game, is when he gave him the run really quick. It's kind of a weird game, though. But other than that, I like his sequencing. I like that he has plays off of plays. I mean, last night, I mean, we couldn't block Georgia. I mean, it's not the only point you can fucking do at that point. But
it was hard for me to watch that game, so it just, like, my mind just went blank. Just trying to figure out what's going on, because I didn't think that we would win. So I definitely get what you're saying on that. Like, I agree. Like, there's a lot of flashy moments. And also, I expect us to beat Kentucky at the end of the year. I think we should beat Kentucky. Does anyone else think that? Because this is going to be the most hilarious game or the worst game for South Carolina. Because there's nothing I'd love to see not to beat UK. UK should go down by us.
Okay. You know, I guess, caller. It's one of those things again.
Thank you, caller. We appreciate it. All right, there we go.
Kentucky, it's where our head's going to be. I mean, I don't know. If we show up, like, if we take the notion that, hey, it's our last game of the year, let's put a good game together, let's put some good stuff on tape for the next coach, okay? Then, you know, we're all here. We didn't give up. Apparently Doty's become the leader of the team. Then I think we can beat them. If we go out there like, fuck, doesn't matter, get a new coach, all these guys will be gone, screw it, then who knows what will happen. So, I mean, I don't know. I think, you know, talent-wise, Kentucky is not that great. But Kentucky is a program that they're looking forward to next year, building something. And we have a lot of question marks about what's going to be next year going to look like. So,
all right, caller, what do you got, man?
Well, here's what I got. So, when Spurrier got these guys into the program, they came from winning programs. They knew how to win. Now we got these guys that are supposedly good recruits coming from teams that win four games a year, and now you're going to get a loser to teach losers how to win. And it's just not going to work.
All right.
What are you talking
about? Well, that's okay. Well, anything else, caller?
I don't. Mean the players at their high school teams lost? What are you trying to say?
Well, I'm saying we're getting these recruits that are good athletes, but they don't know how to win. And then we hire a loser to teach kids that don't know how to win, try to win. So we're gonna turn this shit around.
All right, caller.
I understand that, too. There's a guy in the Gamecock Forum yesterday who said, we need to hire a proven coach who isn't washed up. And I'm like, that's a great strategy, but give me a name. A proven coach who isn't washed up. Well, you know what I mean. I'm like, no,
you
I know.
You can hire anybody you want to. You need to get somebody who knows how to win. And when I look down the list, I don't see any of them know how to win.
So well, who should we get then?
Well, that's a good question. Why do we get rid of what we got?
What's that?
Why did we get rid of what we had? We need to have somebody who can come in. You gotta change the culture. You gotta change the attitude of these kids and teach them how to win, because none of these kids come from places where they were winning. They might be great athletes, and they are great athletes. And
I haven't checked this. Are we getting kids from high schools that don't win? I'm pretty sure they all win in high school. A lot of them do. I don't follow this stuff. Brandon Coon, you follow this stuff.
Oh, fuck. Now we might not win. Sucks.
Thank you, caller.
Listen, I mean, if you want to teach people to win, I mean, Shane Beamer has been around winning programs. That's all he's been doing his whole life, is around winning programs. So, I mean, he hasn't done it himself as a head coach, but if you want to bring in a person who was around winning and was around winning here at Carolina, then that's one angle you can go with. Now, he hasn't done it himself, but he can come in, you know.
You never saw Shane Beamer at Kansas.
Yeah.
Or like Mizzou or somewhere.
He's been at, you know, at great programs. And program. he was here during our heyday when we were winning 11 games a season and first team in the state to have three straight years of top 10 finishes in the AP poll. Mark it down. First team ever to do it in the state.
Yep.
We're still taking calls this evening. Kale and Comrade are right about that. 803-470-2905. 803-470-2905. Your thoughts on the report that Shane Beamer is going to be the next head coach at South Carolina. Hey, I'll tell you one thing that I like about Beamer, and it's not something that's bad. Comrade says, I like to troll. This isn't a trolling comment. He actually wants to be the coach. He's not looking at South Carolina as like this is like a stepping stone to something else. I mean, he really wants to be the coach there, and that's impressive. I mean, am I wrong about that? I mean, I think that's great.
That's true, because, I mean, Will Muschamp, let's be honest, if Will Muschamp had won 11 games 3 years in a row, okay, I'm pretty sure – that if like Auburn came open,
yeah,
he'd probably go. I'm pretty sure if say Georgia got sick of Kirby Smart, okay, and the Gamecocks have passed Georgia, and Georgia reached out to Muschamp, I think he'd go. Yep. If the Patriots, Bill Belichick retired, and the Patriots go, let's go get Belichick's protege. Now, I'm trying to say that imagine Muschamp winning 11 straight games, 3 straight years. So don't, like, Muschamp sucks. I'm like, picture a world where Muschamp is like a great
where
coach.
Muschamp doesn't
okay?
suck.
If the Patriots called Muschamp, hey, we need to take it for Belichick, he'd go. So for that point, I don't think Beamer – would go. I think if Beamer was doing that here, he'd be like, no, this is my place now. Kind of like how Dabo views Clemson. Now the big question is, will Dabo leave for Bama? I would, you know, will Dabo go to the NFL? You know, you hear that too, but we'll see. But that is true. I don't think Muschamp would have stayed if he became like, I got the Gamecocks to Spurrier's level, 11 wins 3 years in a row. Now I'm getting all these offers. You know, it's much easier to go to Auburn and win, or it's much easier to go to Georgia and win.
Right.
Or I'll go take NFL and show everybody how good I really am, you know, whatever.
What do you got for the show, caller? Have at it. Hello, caller.
Hey, guys.
Hi.
Roll Tide, fellas. I just tuned in. Sorry if y'all already talked about this, but what about Brent Venables?
I don't think Venables wants to be a head coach, but I mean, I think he's earned the right to have an opportunity. But Ray Tanner said in the press conference they want an offensive-minded coach. So I don't think they would go that route. So.
And Jay, I think he also said too, he didn't want a defensive coordinator coming in that Jake Bentley broke records against. He said that too.
Yeah, that's the knock on Venables is that he's the defensive coach. So,
yeah, I just sense that you can look on the Clemson sideline and it looks like there's a little bit of resentment or a lot of resentment between Dabo and Venables. And I'm thinking, man, I bet Brett Venables would just love to go against this guy.
Yeah,
I don't know. It wouldn't. Well, I mean, if they didn't get along.
Yeah, I could see that. I mean, Dabo's there listening to Tony Robbins CDs in his headphones, and Brett Venables out there working his ass off the sidelines. I'd be probably a little bit pissed off too. So.
Caller, thank you for calling, man. We appreciate it, buddy. Appreciate it. All right, thanks so much. All right. All right. Phone lines are open. 803-470-2905. Comrade runs his mouth Friday, about this stuff. Go ahead, Kale.
Friday night, you know, we had several games on Friday, a lot more of a heavier slate than usual. And in my Carolina jackpot picks against the spread that I do every week, like 25 games, I had Oregon State covering against Oregon, and one of our patrons over here on the YouTube chat sometimes pops in and out, Marcus Mariota. I had a conversation with him on Facebook about that, and he was kind of angry at the beginning of that game. Here's just a little excerpt from that conversation on Facebook Messenger, and I want you to hear this.
Right, it'll only take the Beeve about 30 seconds to pull even once again, running through that mess like shit through a tin horn. That's right, I'm on the Beeve wagon now.
And his response to that would have been,
you can be on the Beeve wagon all you want, little fella. You're going to get let down. Oregon's a monster team and will probably put 60 fucking points up tonight.
They lost, by the way.
Caller, well,
this man was get back on this.
Yeah. Caller, what do you got? That's funny, Kale. Caller, what do you got?
Well, so the reason why people are talking about we need to teach these kids how to win, when Spurrier would recruit kids, he wanted kids who came from winning programs.
Okay.
So they had winning records. They knew what it meant to fight and to win. And Muschamp changed that. He got kids that were, you know, good athletes. But they not.
What's going on, motherfuckers?
So you're telling me if Clowney's high school team went 1-9, we would have been like, fuck, man. Can't have it here.
It's okay if you have a couple of them kids. That's fine. You want the good athletes.
Well, I mean, listen, I don't know this. Okay,
a culture of winning, but kids who win expect
that's fucking
to win.
Trash.
Okay, I don't know this. The kids we're recruiting, they're from high school teams that are winning three games a year. Like, can we confirm that? Brandon Kuhn, where the hell are you?
Whatever.
Those three of these kids in their high school careers. Most kids that we get, I'm just guessing here, if you're a D1 talent and you're playing high school football,
loser,
your
South
team
Carolina.
Is probably pretty good because of you. You probably win more games than you don't. But maybe I'm wrong. Maybe we're getting a bunch of 2-8 kids coming in here. I didn't know it was the case.
Well, remember, you know, David or Thomas, how many games did that team win?
Who's that now?
Xavier Thomas went to Clemson. How many games did that team win? I mean, he was a great recruit.
He went to IMG, didn't he? Think of the IMG or
yeah,
Florence?
He,
or
yeah, but when he was in Florence, how many yeah. games did they win? How many games did the kid from Conway win?
I don't know, buddy. I mean, the kid you talk Luke Doty at Myrtle Beach was fucking outstanding.
I know.
I mean, he was. I'm not. You know. I'm just saying he came from a program down there where they pretty much stomped on everybody's dick that they played.
What about the kids from Hammond we got? We got kids from Hammond who won every damn game.
Yeah, I mean, Hammond's won like four straight state titles. Burke. So, They've got Alex Huntley and Birch. So, I mean, it's... Yeah.
How about Kevin Harris? Kevin Harris came from a no-winning team down in Georgia, didn't he?
Oh, so we should fucking kick him off the team then! Because he sucked dick this year, hasn't he?
No, he's our best player!
Oh, now we might not win. Sucks.
I mean, so you just disproved your whole logic.
Oh, God.
I saw a guy last night on 4th-and-1.
What I'm saying is that you can take a couple of kids like, listen, don't come from any programs, and you're okay. But you need to have the majority of your kids on your team who are great athletes come from winning programs.
I'm sorry, I don't want to turn this fucking shit off.
It sounds like most of our kids come from winning programs.
You can't teach us shit.
We just named about a bunch of kids from winning programs. Now listen, I don't follow high school football enough, but I know Hammond. I mean, good Lord.
All right, caller. I appreciate you, buddy. Thank you. There's this call from this 901 area code. He wants us to call him back, so we're going to call him really quick here and try to get him in the show because he's left like 4 messages. So he said that he wants to get in here, and then we'll open the lines back up. I don't know where that guy was going. I mean, y'all all scream Go Cox on Saturday. That's your fan base there, comrade. Maybe you can help him.
He uses Kevin Harris as an example.
Caller, what do you got for the show, man? Calling you back for the Rob, Comrade, and Kale show. What do you got, man?
Hey, man, I'll tell you what. I appreciate that. It's good to talk to you guys. Short-time listener, first-time caller.
Thank you.
Just got a couple of questions for each of you if you got the time. Rob, first of all, let me just say, buddy, you got a face for radio.
I do. All right, what else?
Now, I noticed you got this thing against Georgia. Well, I think all of you do, but I'd like to explore that a little further, if you don't mind. Just trying to get at why all of you hate Georgia, and I'd just like to start with you, Rob. Why do you hate Georgia?
I don't really hate Georgia. I don't like their fans. It's an issue. I don't really care about Georgia. Like...
All right, I got you.
All right.
Georgia stops that ass. The guys are like them.
What else you got, man?
Let me ask you this. I have to admit, I am a Georgia fan. So just
I'm sorry.
Just a little.
We all have faults.
History here.
Sure.
Georgia and Clemson have played 7 times,
right?
Since between 1991 and 2014,
right?
Can you tell me how many games Clemson has won?
Georgia's won the majority of them.
The majority of them. That is correct. Clemson has actually won 1 game.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, it's one.
Okay.
I'm not sure which one they won. Not sure which one they won. But
can you answer a question for me, sir? Can you answer a question for me, sir, since I've been polite and answer questions for you?
I can't.
Okay. Georgia won a national title in 1980. How many national titles have Clemson won since 1980?
A lot more than one.
Try 3. Okay, there you go. Anything
all
else you'd like to add to the show, sir?
All of them are kind of asterisk next to them.
No one cares what you think, comrade. Shut your dicks up.
Let's be honest, though.
Shut your dicks up.
All are a little shady.
That 1981 one is a low brow.
A little shady.
NCAA
the pick play, shady. Osterine. We got 3 shadiness.
The NCAA recognizes them, so it doesn't matter what 2 dumb fucks that are South Carolina.
That was Charlie Pell and Danny Ford.
Hold on. Let the caller finish, sir. What else do you have for the show, sir?
Well, for you, Rob, I just want to say that I do appreciate Clemson and I love the rivalry.
Thank you, sir.
Kale.
Yeah.
Kale, I'm a big admirer of your impressive vocabulary and your vernacular prowess. I just wanted you to know that.
Okay. Thank you for
along
that,
those
sir.
Along those lines, though, I was wondering if you could expound on your current comment about your recent fan experience as being androgynous, and secondly, if you could share just how long Will Muschamp has affected your sexuality.
He was with us for 5 years, so I would say 20% of that, so I would say at least a year.
You know what, I want to start something new on the show. Yeah. If Kale wants virtual Kale to answer questions for him, I will give Kale that option. He just has to let us know.
Well, I would like to know if Kale knows the definition of androgynous.
I'm sure that Kale knows the definition of androgynous.
I do. Yeah, and there was a there's a picture of gold dust decided in the dictionary.
Ding, ding, ding. Well,
the dictionary I looked at said that it androgynous refers to displaying male and female traits and mentioned hermaphrodites.
Are you really calling and talking about hermaphrodites here? You're going to hurt the comrades' feelings.
The best example of that is the SNL skit called It's Hat.
Yeah.
That's well, one. I just want to know how.
Don't confuse androgynous from erogenous. Because you don't want to confuse those two.
Will Muschamp made him a hermaphrodite.
Fuck you, comrade. anything else you'd like to add to the show, sir?
Yeah, comrade.
Okay, comrade.
I just want to say, you don't know shit about fuck, but...
You know what? You're right, because I've been on the Georgia bandwagon all year saying you were going to win the East. You know what? You shit the bed. Georgia to win the East all year, and you played Stedman Jackass at quarterback, and you made me look like a moron. So you're right. So why do I hate Georgia? Because you make me look like a dumbass, and that's your team. Thank you.
Caller, what's your first name, sir?
That's not necessarily a ding on you, comrade. It's more of a compliment, actually. You don't know shit about fuck, but you do know how to creatively use profanity.
Thank you.
How the hell did you end up in South Carolina? Because you obviously don't fit in there. Did a bus drop you off? Did you take the wrong plane?
Can I answer this for you, please, sir? Can I answer this for you, comrade?
You know the answer to this.
I know the answer to this. Comrade's wife is hot as fuck. That's how he ended up staying here.
But that's not the truth, though.
That's the truth.
It's true.
Your ass would have been gone if it wasn't for Janie. You know that.
No, get the fuck out of here. But she's hot. But yeah, that was, you know. But the dream of Janie is why I came down here. Number one, I came down here from New York on a recruiting visit, and I went with this girl called the Carolina Classic. That show you around the campus, and I just fell in love with the accent and the women.
So he married one of them. But
that was years later, though. I had some fun for a while, and then I settled down with a.
All right, well, caller, what's your first name, caller?
Russell is my first name.
Russell, you're welcome to call into the show whenever you want, and don't take anything we say seriously. It's just for fun.
I don't really have a problem
with Georgia fans. I don't really have a problem.
Yes, you
with that.
Do.
No, I don't. I don't fucking like the comrade though. He can eat a dick, but I don't really have a problem with anybody, to be honest. All right, well,
hey,
Russell.
I enjoyed it, guys. It was great stuff.
Thank you, Russell. Appreciate it, brother. You can call
Thanks,
whatever
Russell.
You want, man. All right, 803-470-2905. He said you don't know shit about fuck. That's going to be a promo for this show. Hey, comrade, you don't know shit about fuck.
real quick little clip that I wanted to share with you a while ago. That Marcus Mariota, this is what he had to say about South Carolina fans such as myself picking another team to cheer for on the side.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't blame you for having to jump onto a crappy Pac-12 team's bandwagon. South Carolina sucks more dick than all of the Pac-12 shitty teams put together.
That's just wrong.
Oh, God. Here we go.
Deeble dobble, deeble dobble, deeble dobble do, deeble dobble, deeble dobble, deeble dobble do. We are so much better than you.
Caller, what you got?
I got a question for all three of y'all. It's actually a two-parter, if that's okay.
Okay.
I have a question. So the first one is, what is all three of y'all's favorite Gamecock player of all time? And also, what is your favorite experience at William Bryce Stadium?
You want me to go first? Because mine's pretty good.
Rob's a Clemson fan, so fuck him.
No, I've got legitimate shit here. God damn it. Okay. All right. My favorite Gamecock player was probably I liked the young man from Boiling Springs, the quarterback that was kind of the balancing effect for Lou Holtz. And my name, his name is completely, yeah, Phil Petty was great. I like Phil Petty because Phil Petty was steady and he wasn't, it's either Phil Petty or Connor Shaw with me. I like both of those guys. And you know, I've interviewed Petty once, Marcus Lattimore a couple of times. I mean, Marcus Lattimore is just an absolute great human being. I don't even think of Lattimore as a football player. I just think of him as top-notch individual, but as far as football players, I like, and I'm not taking anything away from Petty, but I really like Phil Petty a lot. And my favorite memory in Gamecock Stadium, I was at the 63-17 game, and I took my stepdad. It was his first game in South Carolina Stadium, and he was running his mouth all the time about, oh, well, we're just going to beat the fuck out of y'all. He's running his mouth in the stands, and Clemson was up 35-17 at the half, and he's like, oh, well, time to go. I was like, no. We're not fucking leaving. I drove, and guess what? We're going to watch all of it. And that's what we did. So that's my favorite moment at South Carolina Stadium. That and the year that they played East Carolina in a rainstorm. And I think the Gamecocks pulled that win out. I can't remember, but it was flooding so bad. It was like a river flowing from the top of Williams-Brice Stadium down. And I was working for my ROTC cadet corps selling Cokes to help benefit our cadet corps. And I just remember looking up at a flood coming down. So those are my two favorite memories down there in the at Williams-Brice. Kale, what do you got?
My favorite Gamecock player of all time, Sterling Sharp.
That's a good one.
I mean, he was just electric. And I guess my favorite memory down in Williams-Brice Stadium, God, all my shit's old. But to me, it just was... Just, I don't know, it just meant more than what we see now. For me, would have to have been the 1984 game against Florida State when South Carolina was undefeated. I think we were 7-0, and Florida State was like 6-1, and they were ranked like number 10, and we just absolutely beat the shit out of them. And that place was electric that day. And I was only like 9 years old, 8, 9, something like that. But that one was, I can still remember that like it was yesterday. And my worst memory down there had to have been in 1990 with 54 seconds left on the clock when the Citadel option quarterback Jack Douglas dove in from the 1 yard line. Oof. And got the Citadel Bulldogs win over the Gamecocks. I think it was like 24-21 or something like that. I don't know. That was a bad day.
Comrade, what's yours, man? Hold on. Before the comrade puts this out there, in the comrade's defense, he didn't really know much about the Gamecocks until, say, 91. Is that fair, comrade?
By 92, really.
Okay, well, 92. So he's not really going to go back much farther than that. I think that's fair. Go ahead, comrade.
Favorite player is Brandon Bennett, mainly because, you know, when I was a scrub player in the Gamecocks, he was a senior, and he was the best player in the team. And while freshmen are treated like shit most of the time, he was like the ultimate guy who took care of the freshmen. Just made sure everything was okay, made sure we had food, made sure, I mean, just a great guy. And on top of that, my first ever game as a Gamecock, following the Gamecocks, being a Gamecock, is he went over the top in Athens between the hedges to beat the Bulldogs. So combined with that moment and the kind of person he is and the player he is, he's my all-time favorite player. Lattimore is second, and Shaw's up there too. But Bennett's my favorite. All-time best moment in Gamecock at Williams-Brice Stadium, since that happened in Georgia, would have to be before I moved away from Columbia. I moved away to Ohio for a little bit. The 2000 game against Georgia, another Georgia game, Lou Holtz's first year. We finally had broken the losing streak, and that was kind of our first game. Quincy Carter coming in with Georgia. They were ranked pretty high, I remember. And our defense was unreal. I think we picked them off like three times, something like that. But it was kind of like the first, like, you could see the light finally. Like, man, he's going to turn this program around. We got a big-time coach. We just beat Georgia. And so you felt like the hope was there. So that's probably my favorite moment. You know, Matt, I like that we beat Clemson too, but I would say that one right there was probably the most thrilling because it felt like we were kind of on our way.
Calling, I think the week before that, wasn't that the week before that, the Eric Kimry fade pass?
No.
Or was that the week after that?
The week before that, we beat New Mexico State week one to end our streak. And that was a week two game. I think that the Kimry game was against Mississippi State. And that was like, I think that was maybe like 2 weeks later. We played like Eastern Michigan next. And I think Mississippi State was like the week after that.
Yeah. Okay.
So,
caller, do you have anything else?
I just want to say y'all rule. Y'all the best. Love what you guys do. I want to say my favorite Gamecock of all time as of right now is Kay Harris. Because I'm a big offensive guy. I just love him seeing go through the tackles. I know that sounds kind of weird, but I like him for, you know, what he does for this team. And my first Gamecock game in USC was whenever we beat Tennessee like 2 years ago, where like Will Muschamp was like 6-0 against Tennessee. And I was with my cousin like on the sidelines, or no, not on the sidelines, like on the south end zone. And like the entire time, Tennessee fans were talking to us like to our ears saying like, y'all suck, y'all suck. And like we beat their ass. So that's what I love about
Williams.
All right, caller. Hey, yeah, man, thanks for calling into the show, buddy. We appreciate you, man. All right, there we go. All right, so
overall, no.
Yeah, like you tend to like the guys, like, you know, for me, I'm a big Red Sox fan. My favorite all-time Red Sox players are not Mookie Betts, not David Ortiz. It's the guys that I watched when I was like 13, 14 years old. So that's what happened. I'm sure the young Gamecock fans right now, I'm sure 20 years from now, their favorite player would be like Kevin Harris. They'll say, oh, Kevin, I remember Kevin Harris running over LSU. So that the sticks to you, it means more to you when you're a kid, yeah, when you're watching that, than it does when you become adult.
Caller, welcome into the show.
Yeah, so to kind of get a different side of it from the last caller, who's your guys' favorite Clemson players and memories from Death Valley? I'll take off the air. Thank you.
All right. Do you want me to go first? Or you want to go first, Kale?
My favorite Clemson player?
Yep.
Oh, shit. Adam Humphreys.
Hold on, caller. We'll get to you. All right. There you go with that. Kale likes Adam Humphreys.
My favorite memory from Death Valley? I don't know. I don't have any. I don't go to that dump.
Fucker.
I just don't.
I was polite in yours.
I've been to like two games over there in my entire life. So it's not a place I choose to be.
Comrade, what's yours, buddy?
My favorite Clemson player is a guy that I didn't know was a Clemson player until I got older, and that's Jerry Butler, because he played for the Bills when I was a kid, and I loved Jerry Butler. Back then, they would come to the local malls in Rochester, New York, and sign autographs, and I got an autographed Bills helmet, and I loved Jerry Butler. Fast forward to about like 9 years later, I become a Gamecock, and I'm starting to learn my history on the rivalry, and I see this thing called the catch, and I go, who is that? Oh, that was Jerry Butler. Had a big catch against your Gamecocks. But God, Jesus, you know, I was conflicted. But I'll say Jerry Butler. Best memory in Death Valley, I'd have to go with 94 was fun, but I like 96 the best. Two crappy teams, okay, but a great game. I believe it was that Deuce's year? Was
yeah.
That Hambrick? I think it was Deuce. Had a great game.
Hambrick was one that broke off a long touchdown.
Yeah, he had one too. But it was a great game because it was cold as can be. It's always cold in the shithole. But anyway, and we had a big lead, and Clemson came back.
Indoor heating.
Clemson came back and they were driving. And my best friend's from Conway, South Carolina. He's been a Gamecock fan since he was born. He's seen lots of losses at Clemson. And as they're driving down, he goes to me, "I just want to leave." Like, what do you mean? He goes, "I've seen this happen too many times. I know we're going to lose. Let's just go." Like, we're not going anywhere. And they drive down and Neilon Green drops back. I'm in the end zone, the opposite end zone where they're going into, and I see a receiver break wide open. I'm looking right over Neilon Green's head on the opposite end zone. Like, oh, my God, and thank God Neilon Green can't pass. And he throws a bounce pass to him. And I said, thank God. They bring on the field goal kicker to come in, and he's sitting there, and he misses it, and the Gamecocks hold on for the win. And then we drove home in my friend's car, who was we didn't realize that the heating and AC in the car broke a week earlier. Didn't think it was a big deal until that night driving back to Columbia in that car, freezing, listening to a Michael Jordan Bulls Utah game on the radio.
Yeah,
I remember that.
When Neilon dropped back to pass, there was a 60% chance that Clemson was not gaining any yards.
Neilon Green was famous for getting turf toe. He had turf toe forever. But
so did CJ. Spiller got that a lot, too.
My favorite Clemson player, I liked Anthony Simmons and Reggie Merriweather. Those were two of my favorites. It's easy to go with Deshaun Watson, et cetera, and they're great players, too. But I really liked Reggie Merriweather because he was not your typical ACC back, but was all heart. And Anthony Simmons, I thought, was just an absolutely great linebacker for Clemson. As far as my favorite memories from there.
4-year starter.
Yeah. As far as my favorite memories from there, I went to the Clemson-Notre Dame game when it rained and about got carried away. I'll never forget that. And the game that the comrade and I went to with Dennis Wilson, I'll remember that for the rest of my existence because comrade about got in a fight with people, and he really didn't do anything.
I didn't do anything at all.
But he had Clemson fans.
Rooting on my team.
Yeah. All right, caller.
Rooting on my team.
Caller, what do you got for the show, man? Thanks for holding on. What you got?
Hey guys, I was calling in to add to some of the memories. I think my first as a Gamecock fan would have to have been the Carquest Bowl with Steve Tannehill and the guys. I watched from home, and I remember just begging my dad to take me to the airport in Columbia to see the guys come home,
right.
and getting there and waiting, and we were. So my dad was so close to leaving, but eventually we stuck it out, and eventually the guys got off the plane, and I remember seeing Steve Tannehill and all the guys get off the plane, and just I think I've probably been about 10 years old at the time, just being in awe and just in enjoying that bowl win and enjoying that night and going home dog tired and falling asleep. I think of more recent memory, because I actually work on the event staff for the university, would have to be in Williams-Brice 2012, beating the fool out of Georgia and being in that crowd and that energy and really not being able to hear myself scream and holler for that during that game. And it was right up there with the it was a loss against years before that. It was a loss, 17-3 loss against Georgia, where, again, I couldn't hear myself scream. And I could probably sit here and talk memories with you guys as far as Carolina football goes, and we could probably be here another 2-3 hours talking about it. But, yeah, I grew up a fan, had to, watch a lot on TV, but for me the dream come true for me as a little boy was when I was able to get a job working, and so I typically work till the end of the first quarter, and I get three quarters of free football, and so I've enjoyed my time there. And as far as a favorite player, I would have to say, going back to when I was a young boy and my first game, let me see here, Obviously would be Tannehill, but there were guys like Arturo Freeman was one guy as a little boy that I really, really admired and looked up to as a little boy and really followed him even when he went to the NFL.
All right. Hey, man, thank you for calling us this evening, bud, and sharing some memories with us. Appreciate it. All right, we're going to take calls for another 5 minutes and then get out of here if you want to call in.
Scott Beasley over on YouTube says Carolina Jackpot has more hair than Connor Shaw.
What the fuck does that matter?
That's a riveting statement. He's been full of good stuff.
And more than Frank Martin, too. Have you seen Frank Martin's head?
I don't know what the fuck's going on with Frank Martin's head.
He's been full of all kind of good stuff over on the comment section tonight. He said, Carolina Jackpot, you can go fuck yourself about the Vanderbilt lady kicker.
He said you can go fuck yourself? Why the hate for Carolina Jackpot? Oh, my God. All right. I don't get all that. Caller, welcome in. What do you got for the show?
Why doesn't Carolina Jackpot be the head coach for South Carolina?
Because like, Carolina Jackpot doesn't want to die from blood pressure going through the roof. We want to keep Carolina Jackpot around.
I already drink too much as it is, and that might push me over the edge.
Carolina really, Jackpot would get Steve Sarkisian. He would turn into a feet pickle himself.
Okay, why don't we get all three of you to be coaches?
I don't want that fucking job.
Coordinator, head coach,
fucking job.
Special teams. Why don't all three of you guys? Because that would just be amazing. And then every single Saturday would be excellent to watch. And I'm being straight up.
Oh, fuck, now we might not win.
That's exactly what would happen. We would not win shit. Kale, what did you do to your dog?
Hey, he fell asleep again. On a given Saturday. Like, y'all could recruit very well, get the boys, get your intensity, get on that practice squad, get the pads going, get the calluses going. I got a feeling that is the future of USC football. Is all three of y'all to coach at Williams-Brice.
I don't think so. Thank you. I don't want that job.
He's excited, man.
He's excited. He's why would you think that I would want that job? I wouldn't want that job. And if they offered it to the three of us, Comrade would get behind and be like, hey, we got to drop this fucker Rob off somewhere. He's going to fuck us over. I don't want that job. I don't want to be a coach.
Shout out to BVD over in the comment section. Big Vol Daddy. Go check him out.
Brock
he says, Jackpot, whose dumpster has the biggest fire, yours or ours? I guess it depends on which way the wind's blowing, sir.
That's a good point.
The wind coming out of them Smoky Mountains can be kind of rough sometimes. So
all right.
I don't know.
Jackpot, we got to pick games for this coming week. I sent you guys 8 games that I like.
Here's what we're going to do. Here's the 8 we're going to pick, okay? We're going to have 8 we're going to pick, and we got 2 backups. So we got Clemson, Virginia Tech, obviously. South Carolina, Kentucky. Okay.
The Coastal Liberty game has to be in the mix.
I know.
Okay.
Let me read the things off. Okay.
Right. I just don't. That's not a backup. So fuck off.
Let me read these. Okay. Right. So here's the 8 that I think we should have: Clemson, Virginia Tech, South Carolina, Kentucky. The Cal Hall Special is Bowling Green at Akron, Florida at Tennessee, Alabama at LSU, Texas A&M against Auburn, Liberty at Coastal, and Baylor at Oklahoma. Those are the 8 that I have with our 2 backups in case we have cancellations, Oklahoma State at TCU and Arkansas at Missouri.
All right, read them one more time.
At Clemson, Virginia Tech, South Carolina, Kentucky, Florida, Tennessee, Alabama, LSU, A&M and Auburn, Liberty at Coastal, Baylor at Oklahoma, and the Cale Hall Special, Bowling Green at Akron.
Cool.
That's going to be a damn good game, too.
I think the Liberty Coastal game is going to be good.
The Liberty Coastal game is actually a legit game that I agree having on there for a change. Instead of Coastal Texas State shit that you had on. But that's like legit.
Yeah. All right. Well, I wonder when they're going to have the hiring set up there for Beamer. I think it's going to be by – I think they'll announce it probably Sunday next week. I think that's when that'll happen.
It could be. I mean, that's the benefit of hiring. You can hire them quickly, so I'm not sure why they would wait.
And by the way, you're gonna choose, for the purposes of this podcast, let's make sure that we put this out there, because the comrade and I have had debated about this before. This recruiting class that comes in for this season doesn't count against Beamer. He's just trying to fill bodies. I mean, let's just be honest. This class should be shit. In theory.
His first class is next year.
Right. His first true class is next year. So I say that because when we come back to it, I don't want everybody upset and talking about Beamer's class and all that. It's not really fair to say that this that's first class
coach.
Is
that's for
to
any
be.
Any brand new any coach. You don't count that goes to their first class, not with their first class. Their first class is the year after their hire, you know. That's what you choose it.
Anyway, so just for the purpose of the podcast, just so people understand. All right, so I am on Twitter at Rob Sounds Good. Comrade is on Twitter at The Pesky Pole. If you're watching this on Facebook, we appreciate you guys. Make sure you follow Carolina Jackpot's channel on YouTube. The quest for 9,000. And you know what? I'm putting another goal out there that we're going to try to help Carolina Jackpot with. By the 4th of July... we will have 10,000 subscribers on the Carolina Jackpot channel.
That's doable. Great YouTube name over there under Matty Sims' comment. Just his name is simply Space Mountain. That like Ric Flair, Space Mountain.
Space Mountain. Ooh, that's funny. Anyway, that's our goals here. We want to get our likes up on Facebook, too. I can't remember how many likes we have on Facebook, but if you can go over there and like that page, that would be awesome.
Real quick, the reason why I was told that I could go F myself in the comment section there from Mr. Beasley was because I, on video today, talked about the girl kicking for Vanderbilt yesterday, and I said, hell, you know... It's football. It doesn't say it's men's football. If she can go out there and get on the damn team and do the job, then give her a shot. But, I mean, she's got to be ready for whatever comes with that position. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
If that you know, it includes you having to block or do something, you know, that's going to be physically taxing to you, well, then, I mean, so be it. But I don't know. Say it that way. But I just... It pisses me off that these beer-bellied couch potato bums who sit out here and we watch college football and we type in the comment section on the internet and we think that we're part of some brotherhood, some fraternity, and that puts us, you know, high and mighty above everybody else to pass fucking judgment on everybody else, and I just think it's horse shit.
I agree with Kale. And by the way, I don't... I think I was misconstrued the other night. I'm not against her kicking. I just don't want to see her get hurt. That was my big thing.
Your wife beat your ass.
My wife was pissed off because I'm like, I don't want to see this happen and her out there and getting hurt. That was just my opinion. Then I did some research and realized she's taller than half the fucking Vanderbilt team. Holy shit. So, anyway, more power to Sarah. What's her, Sarah Fuller, right? That's her name?
Yep.
Yeah, so more power to Sarah Fuller. I was worried that she was some little 5'8 kicker that was going to go out there, and Vanderbilt, with as shitty as their offensive line is, Mizzou was going to run them over and then have three guys that are trying to knock her into next month.
She was pretty fucking big, dude.
Yeah, she's 6'3", 6'2", 6'3". She's a big girl.
If she had put on a garnet jersey and put her hair up over the top of her head, she'd look like Sedarius Hutchinson.
I don't know about all that. All right. Well, we'll be back at it on Wednesday with our picks. Someone asked why we're not talking about the Pittsburgh-Clemson game, because the game was a fucking blowout. What do you want me to go with on that?
We don't talk Clemson much on here.
We do talk Clemson.
This is really,
this show.
It's really about
up.
Gamecocks. They're the one that bring the eyeballs, bring the viewers.
We didn't.
You know the Gamecocks.
We don't talk
about Clemson.
Look at all the Clemson stickers over there. Anyway.
We spend about that percent of Clemson.
We didn't talk about the Gamecock game because, let's just be honest, did you two really want to talk about the Gamecock game tonight?
No. I did not. We talked a little bit.
You don't want to talk about it. You'd rather talk about Shane Beamer and the future that you may have of going 4-8 with someone else. I don't fucking know. What?
Oh, fuck. God, now we might not win. Sucks.
Oh, with that, this show's a wrap.